Yeah, so this is my advice, and I know that it's probably not the advice that someone in this situation would want, but your body is going to change. That's just a fact, but change isn't bad. Any change can be good change because, like we said, you're focusing more on balance now. Maybe you weren't the happiest when you were an athlete, so your body will also reflect that. Like, you are adding in so many things to your life when sports does leave, and you have to accept that. You can't add on a full-time 9 to 5 and keep up a 20-hour workout schedule with 2 hours before work, 2 hours after. Like, it's just not manageable. And so, because everything is changing, your body will too.
Hey there, you're listening to Virago Pod, a podcast that is dedicated to empowering and improving the physical and mental health of female athletes everywhere.
This podcast is brought to you by the Virago Project, a nonprofit organization that helps female athletes balance sports with life.
I'm your host, Emily McGee Zaslowski.
And I'm your co-host, Taylor Tracy. Let's jump right into the episode.
Hi, Virago Warriors, and welcome back to episode 22 of Virago Pod. I loved filming today's episode. I got a lot from it, and I really hope you do too. Today's guest, Emily, also named Emily, one of the things she talked about is substituting some numerical-based goals for some affirmation-based goals. And I just love affirmations, and it's something that we talked with briefly with Taylor Heatherly on episode 3 of our podcast. And I've really, you know, tried to make conscious efforts to have affirmations with me in my daily life. And one actually I added after we recorded this episode that I wanted to share with you. We talk a bit about comparing our bodies to our own former athlete bodies. And I hope this message kind of resonates with some of our former athletes today. And here's my affirmation. I hope that this can help one person as well. I am not a before picture. I am worthy of love and respect today. For me, this means that this picture, my body right now, isn't a before that needs to be transformed. This body today is my body, one that I should love, cherish, respect, and, you know, treat with love. All right, let's get into today's episode. A little intro on our guest today. Emily Kaufman is a former NCAA Division I athlete, and I found her podcast through Instagram and reached out to her because of our shared passion on athlete wellness in life after sport. She is the creator of the Top 1% Health and Fitness podcast, Girls Gone Healthy. As a coach and speaker, she educates and encourages others on how to live their best and healthiest life. Right before we recorded this episode, Taylor and I recorded an episode on hers. So be sure to check out Girls Gone Healthy podcast to see our episode with them as well. All right, let's bring on Taylor and Emily. All right, Emily here, and we have Emily, the other Emily, Emily Kaufman, joining us. She is on the line now with Taylor and I. And first, Emily, can you, for a little background for our listeners, tell me and Taylor more about your athletic background and how your experience was retiring from sport?
Yeah, so about my background, I was a Division I athlete in college, and I was a coxswain for the rowing team. And for people that don't know what that is, it's a small person that sits in the back of the boat, and I don't have an oar, but I'm more steering the boat, instructing them, yelling at them, some people say. And for that position, you have to be 110 pounds. And I was this position for 7 years. And so to hit that one weight for 7 years, it was a lot. And so my last 2 years of college, I had come back from summer into my junior year, and I had seen the weight jump up. It was up 10 to 15 pounds more than I had ever seen before. And I spent the last 2 years really trying to get that weight down. I tried all the dieting, over-exercising, all these unhealthy things. And so when I retired, I was so burnt out of the sport. I was so exhausted from everything that I was doing that I kind of called it quits with everything health. I was like, if that's what being healthy was, that is so hard. So I didn't join a gym. I completely lost my athletic identity. And that was what my transition was for the first like 2 years, was just absolutely nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's something that a lot of people can relate to. We've heard it again and again on this podcast, how harmful the all or nothing mindset can be and really just set you up for failure. And it's a hard time figuring out what health looks like to you as a former athlete once you make that retirement and you're done being an elite athlete. So, and actually, I think you know, you brought up the word health. So I think the first thing we should do is define what healthy means to you.
Yeah. So I guess where I left that story, it kind of seems weird that now I have a health podcast. But after going 180 and being like, that's it, like being healthy was hard while being an athlete, I'm no longer going to the gym. I realized that that also wasn't making me feel good. I wasn't feeling my best. I didn't have the same amount of energy I had before. And I tried going to the gym, and it was something that I just couldn't force myself to do until I found group fitness, actually. And I went because it seemed fun. Like, all of my friends seemed to look at it as an activity. And so I ended up going just one time, and it automatically drew me in how sports did, where there's a whole team of us in a room working together, and you had the coach in the front. And I realized while we were there, these people weren't being like, okay, we're going to PR today, or we have to burn this amount of calories. But it was all about having fun, and it was all about enjoying moving your body and doing it in a way that felt good. And I realized that this was a way that I never looked at exercise before. So for me now, I look at health as a mix between having the education, like what does it mean to burn a calorie? What is nutrition? How many rest days should you have? Like, all of that is education. But then also the freedom with that information, right? Just because you know that a vegetable is healthier than junk food doesn't mean that you have to choose that one every time. And I think that that's the part where you had said it too. Athletes are usually all or nothing. And it's having that balance in between is how I define health.
I love that. Taylor, how do you think your definition of healthy has changed even since starting Virago Project or since retiring from sport?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can definitely relate to Emily's story on so many levels, graduating, trying to maintain the body that you had while you were an athlete, becoming burnt out about it, realizing that it's not sustainable and that bodies change, and then kind of redefining health. But I think, you know, for me, like, the process has been quite long, and just figuring out, like, okay, well, I know I shouldn't, I guess it started out like, okay, well, I know I shouldn't be over-exercising. I know I shouldn't be restricting my calories, but then, like, really redefining in the way that, like Emily said, also, like, all foods fit. Like, I can have the cookie, I can have, like, the cake. I actually don't have to diet, like, learning more about intuitive eating, all of those things. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, the Virago Project has definitely, like, you know, we're able to talk to people like Emily and nutritionists and stuff like that, so that helps. But I think it takes time for everyone to kind of figure out, you know, after college, sports, what health looks like to them. So I'm still in the process of learning, to answer your question.
Yeah, I think that's good though, and I think what I'm hearing too is, like, what your lifestyle choices look like after sports is going to be different for everyone, because I was so driven by, like, winning volleyball games that I had a hard time then finding any motivation to do anything and enjoying it. Because, like you said, like, finding that group fitness class for me too changed a lot of things, because it still provided some structure, some coaching, but it took away a lot of the, you know, harmful parts of, like, oh, did I go on the treadmill for the same amount of time or more as last time? Was my mile split faster on this run? Mm-hmm. So I actually agree with you. I had similar, like, found love for group fitness classes that I always thought of, like, wasn't so much about the calories they were burning, but more like, look at us being active in a way that feels good for our bodies and, like, the community of it. So I love that. And love the fact that we can kind of embrace that health is different for everyone. And there's no, like, very strict guideline on, yes, this is healthy, no, this is not healthy. And just because you eat a cookie does not mean you're not healthy. But there's so much more than that.
Exactly.
Because in the past, like, I've used fitness apps to track my calorie intake and my weight, and, like, there's, like, a little line graph that goes, and I can go back to see what my weight was at a different time, like, all this crazy, like, very structured regimen stuff, kind of like my statistics in a game. So can you go more into detail on what you think of, you know, those types of trackers and apps and some alternatives that females can use to help track their progress?
Yeah, so I think that there's two different types of athletes, especially post-competition. You have the ones that still love measuring stats, right? I know of a lot of athletes who they go from sports and then they're like, okay, now I'm going to train for a marathon. Now I'm going to do CrossFit. Like, they still are motivated by those numbers. But you also have a large percent of athletes that they never pick up a solid workout routine again. And I really started questioning why, because that was me for a while too. I was like, this is not like me, right? Someone that identified as an athlete and I haven't even stepped foot in a gym for a year. And the reason was because these goals didn't motivate me anymore. Standing on the scale and seeing how that shifted wasn't motivating me. Trying to track on my Apple Watch, like, I didn't care about that. And so that's where I really had to find, okay, what is going to be my motivation now? And I ditched having any sort of workout goals. Now, instead, I approach my workouts as having an affirmation or having an intention behind it, right? Like, I use the one a lot of, like, I am going to get stronger today. And it's not necessarily I'm going to get physically stronger. It could be, okay, I'm only showing up at 80%, but because I'm showing up, I'm going to get mentally stronger. And that's part of what Taylor said too, of it's not defining healthy, it's redefining healthy, because we've had it in our head of what it looked like as an athlete. And because you have a different lifestyle now, you kind of have to change what that looks like too.
Jeez, I love that so much. In terms of just like showing up for yourself in exercise and shifting the focus from like the number of reps that you do and like maybe how long you stay at the gym or like, you know, the amount of weight that you put on the bar, all of these other things that we used to do when we were athletes, like, you know, we were required to like 4x6, like split squat, whatever, or like 4x8, and like literally tracking the weights and all of this and all of these different measures. And I love how you said like that doesn't motivate you, and like you walked away from that. I'm curious, you know, what was that like? Like the breakup with the numbers game, was it hard? Were you resistant at first?
At first, yes, because that is how I defined healthy. I thought that me losing the weight, especially to get to that 110 pounds for so many years, like that's what would have symbolized healthy. And because I was making so many lifestyle changes and I still wasn't seeing any change to the weight, I automatically assumed, okay, that means that I'm not healthy, even though I was trying all these diets and all these things weren't healthy. But I think that when I realized like, these numbers don't define it. It's more like the activities and these habits that you build in matter a lot more to your overall health. And the thing that really prevented me too with this moving forward into ditching the numbers was thinking about my mental health with it too, because I was focused on numbers, which was only measuring the physical health. And I pretty much just ditched my mental health. Like I had neglected it for so long. I was like, now is the time where I want to start thinking about my mental health. And then I could start adding in working out again. And that's when I realized the numbers were the issue for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I can totally relate to that. Like I felt not in the nicest way, personally attacked when you said like the people who go straight into running and marathons, that's literally verbatim what I did. I was like, I need a goal. I need to do something. And then like at the end of it, I still felt so unfulfilled. Yeah. Like it was because I had these goals. And when Taylor and I were working on doing some of our team talk workshops on goal setting, we were very surprised. Like we were trying to, you know, find research and facts that help athletes with goal setting. And we actually found that the SMART goals, the specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and like timetable are actually less effective than the athlete who understands the motivation behind the goal. And so I thought that was really interesting and actually kind of fits perfectly for what you're saying, and that don't focus so much on this measurable specific goal, because whether you get it or not, that's going to like put too much weight on it. Like, I know when I had those fitness trackers and I worked out hard for it, I mean, this is not healthy, but I'd work out hard for a week. I would step on the scale like way too often every week, like see what it is. And when that number wouldn't drop, I could not even take what I just did and be happy with it. Like, I might have, like you said, gotten stronger. I might have even like done a new exercise. I might have tried a new piece of equipment, but like, that's not what I was focused on. I was focused on this unhealthy number that wasn't going down, where in reality, that was a much better indicative for thinking about it now, what I would want. I would love to keep learning in my fitness journey. I'm going to learn something new about my body, a new weight, work on it, like identify a new muscle I can work. I'm going to work on getting stronger. This figuring out the motivation in a way that, because athletes are just driven by motivation. So if you can figure out that affirmation and intention that'll produce good, I think is, I mean, I've never heard it put like that way, but I think it makes so much more sense for how the athlete's brain works.
Yeah, because we spent so long too being told what workouts to do and training for a specific sport. Like, this is a time now that you can have fun with it. You can experiment with new ways. And also with motivation, you know, I think that we're really drilled in as athletes too of, it's not about motivation, you know, it's about having the discipline and you like keep working hard even when there is no motivation. But I think that this is really important because it's just getting to learn yourself and getting to know like what matters to you and what does light you up. So I think that motivation is a big factor too. And there will be something that you'll find with sports, even if once you leave, it's something different than what you're doing now.
Yeah. Also, like, burnout is a thing too, right? Like, after college sports and you're trying to figure it out and your goals aren't, you know, being reached because they're not coming from probably the best place of motivation. Maybe it's all focused on weight loss or something else. I've been there too, Emily. And then it's just like setting yourself up for burnout and like failure. And Emily C, one thing that I really liked about how you were just explaining your workout routine now, it kind of sounds similar to like something that I like to call intuitive fitness. Like, I feel like a lot of the time we hear about intuitive eating. And I guess like intuitive fitness would be this approach where, you know, you do what feels good to you whenever you feel like doing it, and you do as much or as little as you want of it. And like, it literally just depends on like how you feel that day, what your body like needs. And it's not like, you know, you just let yourself go per se and like don't work out at all, because we know there's health benefits to working out and stuff, but like you listen to your body and don't push it over its limits. And you're okay with that. And like, it sounds like you found that. And I know like intuitive fitness has been huge in me, like overcoming over exercising and just like, you know, feeling good without going crazy all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I love that word, you know, using intuitive movement, intuitive fitness, because the thing with retirement too from sports is just a never ending off season is right. How I refer to it. And so you are going to want to rest right after. You are going to probably go through this period of, I'm a little burnt out, I'm going to stop working out. And that's totally normal. But I love to encourage everyone of like, you can be now an everyday athlete. You can have fitness part of your life without taking over your life. And that's where the intuitive part comes in of like, you should start finding something that works for you, but also not overdoing it and just trying to find that balance.
Yeah, I love that, because I'm just thinking of, and I'm sure Taylor's going to have the same memory, or I have no clue. Maybe she's an all-star swimmer. Yeah. I swam growing up, but then in volleyball, we had college like crazy swim workouts, like treading water, stuff above our head, during craziness. And I was like, just so like negative connotations around any swim workout. But then after I did those little like aquatic workouts, I was like, actually, like I had a lot of fun in my swimming, doing swim team. And so like, then not only until like the last year or two was like my pool hat or my gym has a pool that did I like, you know, pull out and like my one piece and get in there and I mean, I was like, let me just try. I'm just going to do 4 laps. And it felt like a waste of a gym visit. Like, what do you mean I only did 4 laps? But I was like, I just want to see how my body feels in the pool in like a different kind of environment. And I loved it. Like, I never would have thought, like, I'm not sure if you have similar things about the erg machines or if that's like something that you're like, I will never go on there again. But like, you can have a different relationship with a similar workout after sport. That took me like a while to figure out.
Sometimes you just need a break. Like, you know, sometimes you need a break from lifting and before you go back into it, or like sometimes you need a break from swimming or running or whatever.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it. Now we can determine how many rest days, how long, everything about your workouts. But yes, I think I've only touched an erg once since I stopped rowing.
Yeah. What is an erg? Can someone tell me what that is?
It's the indoor rowing machine. Oh. So we spend all winter on it when the rivers are frozen.
Got it. Okay. I've seen those.
I would say you've probably seen it in the field house. That's what it might have been before you were there, but like that's what all the rowers would do in their workouts during the colder months. They'd have like time trials on it. Or if you've seen like Orange Theory, that's like one of the workouts.
Yeah, I've seen them in the gym. Okay, now I know they're called ergs. We call them us NARPs call them, or non-rowing people call them rowing machines.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was like, say I only know quite a few friends on the rower, and I don't even know if it's erg, ERG. I have no clue. That's what I think. Okay, but so I think that's one, changing the way that we take a look at our goals and using those affirmations and intentions instead to guide our fitness journey. I think that's a really good takeaway for our listeners. Yeah. And are there anything else that you've seen either through yourself or other sports women that are doing inadvertently to cause extra stress in their health journey? And what can be done to remove that stress?
Yeah, so I think that a few of those we've already covered, you know, relying too much on metrics, trying to keep up with the same lifestyle you had as an athlete without actually redefining your goals or anything like that. But the last one, too, is placing importance on really insignificant things that aren't actually for your health. So if you have a specific goal, like, you know, you want to do 5Ks now, or you're trying to pick up a new sport, that might be different. But if you're just trying to be an everyday athlete, you just want to be healthier overall, the big things are, you know, your physical health and mental health, emotional health, right? There's 3 big buckets. And then within physical health is exercise as one of the options. And then within exercise is performance. And so athletes, when they retire, they'll focus so much on performance, and that's just a tiny sliver of it, right? There's so much other stuff that needs attention that you need to focus on: rest and recovery, taking care of yourself. What about nutrition? All of these other aspects that isn't just performance. And so I think that if I were to offer just one thing of trying to take off that extra stress is, don't look at the outcomes of what's happening. Look at the habit of what you're doing.
Ooh. I have a question, Emily. See, because I know that, and Emily Z, and I have definitely experienced this, and you said that you did too. But because that motivation coming out of college is a lot of the time for sportswomen, you know, centered around, you know, weight, body image, keeping your quote unquote keeping your body the same way it was, like, what advice would you give to sportswomen who are struggling with that as they're trying to approach a more like holistic kind of all-encompassing fitness routine like that what you just mentioned?
Yeah, so this is my advice, and I know that it's probably not the advice that someone in this situation would want, but your body is going to change. That's just a fact, but change isn't bad. Any change can be good change because, like we said, you're focusing more on balance now. Maybe you weren't the happiest when you were an athlete, so your body will also reflect that. Like, you are adding in so many things to your life when sports does leave, and you have to accept that. You can't add on a full-time 9-to-5 and keep up a 20-hour workout schedule with 2 hours before work, 2 hours after, like, it's just not manageable. And so because everything is changing, your body will too. And it might take some time to accept that it's changing or even be okay with it, but know that it's just normal and it is part of the process. Like, you're not going to maintain that same way forever.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. And I guess I'm trying to think of what my biggest takeaway of, like, what caused me the most stress. I kind of always have a competition with my own self. So, like, I never really compared myself to, like, Instagram or model people or even my teammates. I was much more susceptible to comparing myself in my health journey to myself. So I would look at when I felt like I was the most fit and when I looked the best, felt the best, did all these different things. Like, 1 year I did it in a healthy way. I lost some weight, gained some muscle, really focused on my nutrition. And so then I had this kind of peak image of where, like, my potential and where it was possible for what my body to look like and feel like. So then it's very hard to, like, stop romanticizing what it was in the past. This embracing the change and the different journey and stop kind of holding on to a past version of yourself is going to be my biggest tips, because the truth of the matter is the amount of time you had, that was your full-time job. So now after college, you're going to have a job. You're going to be doing other activities. You might have a family. There's going to be no other time where you can commit that much time in your life. So if things are different now, if your body looks different, if your workouts look different, if your weight room statistics of what you're lifting look different, that's okay, because change is inevitable and there's going to be that change that you just have to embrace and be okay with. So I think that's my biggest takeaway is stop trying to compare yourself to your former self, because it's just not really just not healthy. Taylor, do you have any takeaways for your biggest stress that has hit you on your health journey?
Yeah. So I think, like, after I graduated, retired from college sport, I noticed, like, my body was a little bit in shock. Like, my metabolism was out of whack. It was going through changes. I had a ton of muscle on my body that I don't have now. And I think that as we're kind of figuring things out, and our body's going metabolically, like, and physiologically, like, through the changes of, like, you know, top, like, fitness level, like, elite performance, whatever, to just, like, normal human being. I think it can get a little bit crazy in our minds, but what I've learned over the years is that, like, if you can make it through that hump and just, like, continue to treat your body well and, like, you know, listen to it, give it what it needs, whether it's sleep, food, exercise, movement, whatever, like, eventually your body will turn back into a place of, like, homeostasis. And, like, I feel like it took me, you know, probably, like, 3 years or so. And I don't know, for, like, you guys, when you started feeling, like, kind of comfortable in your own skin again, or if you even had a similar experience. But yeah, I think my biggest piece of advice would just be to, like, trust your body through the process of, like, the change and the shock. Just trust that, like, you will eventually feel comfortable again.
Yeah. No, it probably took me 2 years too. And the thing that Emily was saying too, it wasn't just a body issue, it was more an identity issue that you were connecting with your body. Because I remember, you know, I would still refer to myself as an athlete once I had left. You know, I was meeting new people at work and I would say that I was an athlete. But as my body started to change and I started to gain weight, I wasn't looking the part anymore. And that almost caused this crisis of, okay, now the body that I was worthy at, the body that I had as an athlete is gone. So I'm not even connected to that old self. So I love Emily's takeaway too of, you know, don't compare yourself to how you were then or look at past versions of yourself, because you're just placing that blame on your body when it's actually doing nothing wrong.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. Well, so that is all the questions I had for you, but we recorded an episode with Emily earlier today and she gave us a little teaser that she has a book coming out that kind of talks a little about this. I'm not sure if this is even legal question to ask? And if not, I can edit all of this out. But can you tell us a little bit about the book that is coming out very
yes,
soon?
Yes, I am so excited about this book coming out. It's called Elite to Everyday Athlete, 9 Steps Getting Off the Sidelines of Life. And it pretty much incorporates everything that we're talking about here. You know, once you leave athletics, it's like, okay, now what? Now I don't have coaches telling me what's healthy, or my body's changing and I don't know what to do about that. And just this transition period of life, because as we both said, you know, it took us multiple years to figure this out. And so I hope that by sharing my story and other stories and research, that I can help cut back the time and almost like be that coach for this transition period.
I love that, because that's my whole thing, that, you know, we had coaches that prepared us for every single match, every single opponent, every single small technical thing about our game that we could improve on. And like, really, there's no coach for that stage of your life. So I love that you're doing that with this book, with Girls Gone Healthy. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, so I have my own podcast called Girls Gone Healthy. So it's available wherever you're listening to this. And then I hang out on Instagram. It's at Girls Gone Healthy Podcast. And as I said, I have a book coming out really soon. So make sure to follow so you can get all those updates.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Emily. We will link all of that in our description, and we will try to have you on. Come on for a little IGTV.
And I look forward to, you know, working with you guys in the future too.
Thanks, Emily.